Continuation of number 3881. Whoever supposes that by Judah is here meant Judah, by Israel, Israel, by Joseph, Joseph, by Ephraim, Ephraim, and by David, David, will believe that all these things are come to pass as they are described in the sense of the letter, that Israel will be again consociated with Judah as well as the tribe of Ephraim, likewise that David will rule over them, and that they will thus dwell upon the land given unto Jacob forever, and that an everlasting covenant will in this case be established with them, and a sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. When in the internal sense the Jewish nation is not meant at all, but the Lord's celestial kingdom, which is Judah, and his spiritual kingdom, which is Israel, and the Lord himself, who is David. From this it is very plain that by names are not meant persons, but things celestial and divine. The case is similar in regard to the following words in Zechariah. Many peoples and numerous nations shall come to seek Yehovah Zebaoth. In those days 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of a man of Judah, saying, "We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." 8:22-23. They who apprehend these words according to the letter will say, as the Jewish nation to this day believes, that as this prophecy has not yet been fulfilled, it will be, and therefore that the Jews will return to the land of Canaan, and many will follow them out of all the languages of the nations, and will lay hold of the skirt of a man of Judah, and will pray for leave to follow them, and that then God, namely the Messiah, whom Christians call the Lord, will be with them, to whom they must first be converted. This would be the promise of the words if by a man of Judah there were meant a Jew. But the subject here treated of in the internal sense is a new spiritual church among the Gentiles, and by a man of Judah is signified the saving faith which comes from love to the Lord. That by Judah is not meant Judah, but, as already said, in the internal sense the Lord's celestial kingdom, which was represented in the church instituted with Judah or the Jews, may also be clearly seen from the following passages. The Lord shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four wings of the earth. Then shall the envy of Ephraim depart, and the enemies of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. Isaiah 11:12-13. And in Jeremiah, "Behold, the days come, saith Yehovah, that I will raise up unto David a just branch, who shall reign as a king, and shall prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the land. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell securely. And this is his name whereby they shall call him, Yehovah our justice." 23:5-6. And in Joel, "Then ye shall know that I am Yehovah your God, dwelling in Zion, the mountain of my holiness, and Jerusalem shall be holiness. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall flow with waters. And a fountain shall come forth from the house of Yehovah, and shall water the stream of Shittim. Judah shall abide forever, and Jerusalem to generation and generation." 3:17-20. And in Zechariah, "In that day I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the peoples with blindness. And the chieftains of Judah shall say in their heart, I will strengthen to myself the inhabitants of Jerusalem in Yehovah Zebaoth their God. In that day will I make the chieftains of Judah like a hearth of fire in the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the peoples round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall yet again be inhabited in her own place, even in Jerusalem. And Yehovah shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitant of Jerusalem may not lift itself up above Judah. In that day will Yahuwah defend the inhabitant of Jerusalem, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of Yahuwah before them. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitant of Jerusalem the spirit of grace. Zechariah 12, verses 4 to 10. The subject here treated of is the Lord's celestial kingdom, that truth should not have dominion therein over good, but that truth should be subordinate to good. Truth is signified by the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and good by Judah. From this it is manifest why it is first said that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitant of Jerusalem may not lift itself up above Judah, and next, that the house of David shall be as God and as the angel of Yahuwah, and that the spirit of grace shall be poured upon it and upon the inhabitant of Jerusalem. For such is the state when truth is subordinate to good, or faith to love. The horse which shall be smitten with astonishment, and the horse of the peoples with blindness, signifies self-intelligence. Number 2761, 2762, 3217. Again, in that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness to Yahuwah, and the pots in the house of Yahuwah shall be like the bowls before the altar, and every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness to Yahuwah Zebaoth. 14 verses 20 and 21, describing the Lord's kingdom. In Malachi, behold, I send my angel who shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the angel of the covenant whom ye desire. Behold, he cometh, but who may abide the day of his coming? Then shall the meat offering of Judah and of Jerusalem be pleasant unto Yahuwah, as in the days of old, and as in former years. 3 verses 1, 2, and 4, where the subject treated of is manifestly the Lord's advent. It is known that the meat offering of Judah and Jerusalem was not then pleasant, but that worship from love was pleasant, which is the meat offering of Judah, and worship from faith derived from love, which is the meat offering of Jerusalem. In Jeremiah, thus saith Yahuwah Zebaoth, yet again shall they say this word in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. Yahuwah bless thee, O habitation of justice, O mountain of holiness. And Judah and all the cities thereof shall dwell therein together. Behold, the days come, saith Yahuwah, that I will sow the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. Behold, the days come that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. 31 verses 23, 24, 27, 31, and 32. And in David, the Lord hath chosen the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion that he loved, and hath built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth hath he founded it forever. Psalm 78, verses 68 and 69. From these and many other passages here omitted, it may be seen what is signified in the word by Judah, and that it is not the Jewish nation, because this was very far from being a celestial church or the Lord's celestial kingdom, being the worst of all nations in regard to love to the Lord and charity toward the neighbor, and also in regard to faith. And this from the days of their first fathers, the sons of Jacob, down to the present time. That such persons were nevertheless capable of representing the celestial and spiritual things of the Lord's kingdom may be seen above, number 3479 to 3481, because in representations the person is not reflected upon, but only the thing that is represented, number 665, 1097, 1361, 3147, 3670. But when they did not remain in the rituals ordained by Yahuwah or the Lord, but turned away from them to idolatries, they then no longer represented celestial and spiritual things, but the opposite, that is, infernal and diabolical things, according to the Lord's words in John. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and stood not in the truth. 8, verse 44. That this is signified by Judah in the opposite sense may be seen from the following words in Isaiah. Jerusalem hath stumbled, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their works are against Yahuwah, to rebel against the eyes of his glory. Isaiah 3, verse 8. And in Malachi, Judah hath dealt treacherously, and abomination hath been wrought in Israel and in Jerusalem. And Judah hath profaned the holiness of Yahuwah, because he hath loved and betrothed to himself the daughter of a strange god. 2, verse 11. And also in the following passages, Isaiah 3, verse 1 and following verses, 8, verses 7 and 8, Jeremiah 2, verse 28, 3, verses 7 to 11, 9, verse 26, 11, verses 9, 10, and 12, 13, verse 9, 14, verse 2, 17, verse 1, 18, verses 12 and 13, 19, verse 7, 32, verse 35, 36, verse 31, 44, verses 12, 14, 26, and 28, Hosea 5, verse 5, 8, verse 14, Amos 2, verses 4 and 5, Zephaniah 1, verse 4, and in many other places. 3882, and she stood still from bearing. That this signifies ascent by a ladder from the earth to Yahuwah or the Lord is evident from the signification of bearing or of birth as being truth and good. For these are births in the spiritual sense, inasmuch as man is regenerated or born anew by means of truth and good. These also are what are signified by the four sons born of Leah, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Reuben signifies the truth which is the first of regeneration or of the new birth. This is truth merely as to science, scientia. Thus it is to know truth. Simeon signifies the truth which is the second of regeneration or of the new birth. This is truth as to the will. Thus it is to will truth. Levi signifies the truth which is the third of regeneration or of the new birth. This is truth as to affection. Thus it is to be affected with truth, which is the same thing as charity. But Judah signifies good, which is the fourth of regeneration or of the new birth, and this is the celestial of love. When the regenerate man, or he who is born anew, arrives at this stage, the Lord appears to him, for he has then ascended from the lowest step as by a ladder up to the step where the Lord is. This also is the ascent which is signified by the ladder seen by Jacob in a dream, which stood upon the earth, whose top reached to heaven, and on which the angels of God ascended and descended, and upon which stood Yahuwah, or the Lord, concerning which see the foregoing chapter, verse 12. Hence it is evident that such is the signification of standing still from bearing. That by conceiving and bearing, here mentioned four times, is signified advancement from external to internal, or from truth to good, that is, from earth to heaven, may be seen above number 3860, 3868, 3874, 3879. Descent follows afterwards, for man cannot descend until he has first ascended. Descent is nothing else than looking at truth from good, as from a mountain upon which he has climbed, a man views the things which lie beneath. That he then can comprehend in one view innumerable things more than they who stand beneath or in the valley is manifest. And the case is precisely the same with those who are in good, that is, in love to the Lord and in charity toward the neighbor, as compared with those who are only in truth, that is, in faith alone. Continuation concerning the grand man, and concerning correspondence, here concerning the correspondence with the heart and lungs. 3883. It has been already shown what the grand man is, and what is the correspondence therewith, namely that the grand man is the universal heaven, which in general is a likeness and image of the Lord, and that the correspondence is that of the Lord's divine with the celestial and spiritual things therein, and of the celestial and spiritual things therein with the natural things in the world, and chiefly with those in man. Thus there is a correspondence of the Lord's divine through heaven, or the grand man, with man, and with all the things in man, insomuch that man comes forth, that is, subsists therefrom. 3884. As in the world it is quite unknown that there is a correspondence of heaven, or the grand man, with all things of man, and that man comes forth and subsists therefrom, so that what is said on the subject may seem paradoxical and incredible, I may here relate the things that experience has enabled me to know with certainty. Once, when the interior heaven was open to me, and I was conversing with the angels there, I was permitted to observe the following phenomena. Be it known that although I was in heaven, I was nevertheless not out of myself, but in the body, for heaven is within man wherever he may be, so that when it pleases the Lord, a man may be in heaven and yet not be withdrawn from the body. In this way it was given me to perceive the general workings of heaven as plainly as an object is perceived by any of the senses. Four workings or operations were then perceived by me. The first was into the brain at the left temple, and was a general operation as regards the organs of reason, for the left side of the brain corresponds to rational or intellectual things, but the right to the affections or things of the will. The second general operation that I perceived was into the respiration of the lungs, and it led my respiration gently, but from within, so that I had no need to draw breath or respire by any exertion of my will. The very respiration of heaven was at the time plainly perceived by me. It is internal, and for this reason is imperceptible to man, but by a wonderful correspondence it inflows into man's respiration, which is external, or of the body. And if man were deprived of this influx, he would instantly fall down dead. The third operation that I perceived was into the systole and diastole of the heart, which had then more of softness with me than I had ever experienced at any other time. The intervals of the pulse were regular, being about three within each period of respiration, yet such as to terminate in and thus direct the things belonging to the lungs. How at the close of each respiration the alternations of the heart insinuated themselves into those of the lungs, I was in some measure enabled to observe. The alternations of the pulse were so observable that I was able to count them. They were distinct and soft. The fourth general operation was into the kidneys, which also it was given me to perceive, but obscurely. From these things it was made manifest that heaven or the grand man has cardiac pulses, and that it has respirations, and that the cardiac pulses of heaven or the grand man have a correspondence with the heart and with its systolic and diastolic motions, and that the respirations of heaven or the grand man have a correspondence with the lungs and their respirations, but that they are both unobservable to man, being imperceptible, because internal. 3885. Once also, when I was withdrawn from the ideas derived from the sensuous things of the body, a celestial light appeared to me, and that light itself withdrew me farther from them, for in the light of heaven there is spiritual life. See number 1524, 27, 76, 31, 67, 31, 95, 33, 39, 36, 36, 36, 43. When I was in this light, corporeal and worldly things appeared as beneath me, and yet I still perceived them, but as more remote from me, and as not belonging to me. I then seemed to myself to be in heaven with my head, but not with my body. In this state it was likewise given me to observe the general respiration of heaven, and what was its nature. It was interior, easy, spontaneous, and corresponding to my respiration as 3:1. It was also given me to observe the reciprocations of the pulsations of the heart, and I was then informed by angels that each and every creature on the earth has pulsations of the heart and the consequent respirations, and that the reason why they take place at dissimilar moments is that both the cardiac pulsation and the pulmonary respiration, which are in the heavens, pass off into something continuous, and thus into endeavor, which is of such a nature as to excite these motions variously in accordance with the state of every subject. 3886. But be it known that the variations in the heavens in respect to pulsations and respirations are manifold, being as many as there are societies. For they are according to the states of thought and affection with the angels, and these are according to their states of faith and love. But the general pulsation and respiration are as above described. Once also it was given me to observe the cardiac pulsation of those who were of the province of the hinder part of the head, and to note one by one the pulsations of the celestial and those of the spiritual in that province. The pulsations of the celestial were tacit and gentle, but those of the spiritual were strong and vibratory. The intervals of the pulsation of the spiritual were to those of the celestial as 5 to 2, for the pulsation of the celestial inflows into that of the spiritual, and thus goes forth and passes into nature. And, wonderful to say, the speech of the celestial angels is not heard by the spiritual angels, but is perceived under the form of a pulsation of the heart, and this because the speech of the celestial angels is not intelligible to the spiritual angels, for it is produced by affections which are of love, whereas that of the spiritual is produced by intellectual ideas. See number 1647, 1759, 2157, 3343. And the former belong to the province of the heart, but the latter to the province of the lungs. 3887. In heaven or the grand man, there are two kingdoms, one of which is called celestial and the other spiritual. The celestial kingdom consists of angels who are called celestial, and these are they who have been in love to the Lord, and thence in all wisdom. For they are in the Lord, and thereby they are preeminently in a state of peace and innocence. They appear to others like little children, for a state of peace and innocence presents this appearance. Everything there is, as it were, alive before them, for whatever comes immediately from the Lord is alive. Such is the celestial kingdom. The other kingdom is called spiritual. It consists of angels who are called spiritual, and these are they who have been in the good of charity toward the neighbor. They make the delight of their life to consist in the fact that they can do good to others without recompense. To them it is sufficient recompense to be allowed to do good to others. The more they will and desire this, insomuch the greater intelligence and happiness are they. For in the other life everyone is gifted with intelligence and happiness by the Lord, in accordance with the use he performs from the affection of the will. Such is the spiritual kingdom. They who are in the Lord's celestial kingdom all belong to the province of the heart, and they who are in the spiritual kingdom all belong to the province of the lungs. The influx from the celestial kingdom into the spiritual kingdom is like that of the heart into the lungs, as also is the influx of all things of the heart into those of the lungs. For by means of the blood vessels, the heart rules the whole of the body and in all its parts, and the lungs in all its parts by the respiration. Hence there is everywhere in the body, as it were, an influx of the heart into the lungs, but according to the forms there, and according to the states. From this arises all the sensation, as well as all the action that is proper to the body, as may be seen from the case of fetuses and newborn infants, which cannot have any bodily sensation nor any voluntary action until their lungs have been opened, and thus an influx established of the one into the other. The case is similar in the spiritual world, but with the difference that there are not there bodily and natural things, but celestial and spiritual ones, which are the good of love and the truth of faith. Hence the cardiac motions with those in the spiritual world are according to the states of love, and the respiratory motions are according to the states of faith. The influx of the one unto the other causes in them spiritual sensation and spiritual action. These things will necessarily appear to man as paradoxical, from his having no other idea of the good of love and the truth of faith than that they are certain abstract things without the power of effecting anything, when yet the contrary is true, namely that all perception and sensation and all energy and action, even in man on earth, are from the good of love and the truth of faith. 3888. These two kingdoms are presented to view in man by means of the two kingdoms that are in him, namely the kingdom of the will and the kingdom of the understanding, which two kingdoms constitute the mind of man, nay, the man himself. The will is that to which corresponds the pulsation of the heart, and the understanding is that to which corresponds the respiration of the lungs. For this reason, there are likewise in the body of man two kingdoms, namely those of the heart and the lungs. He who knows this mystery may also know how the case is with the influx of the will into the understanding, and of the understanding into the will, consequently with the influx of the good of love into the truth of faith, and vice versa. Thus how the case is with the regeneration of man. But they who are only in corporeal ideas, that is, who are in the will of what is evil and the understanding of what is false, cannot apprehend these things, for they cannot think of spiritual and celestial things otherwise than sensuously and corporally, consequently not otherwise than from darkness of the things of celestial light, or of the truth of faith, and from cold of the things of celestial flame, or of the good of love. This darkness and cold so extinguish celestial and spiritual things that these appear to such persons to have no existence. 3889. In order that I might know, not only that there is a correspondence of the celestial things which are of love with the motions of the heart, and of the spiritual things which are of faith from love with the motions of the lungs, but also how the case is with this correspondence, it was given me for a considerable space of time to be among the angels, who showed it me to the life. By a wonderful and indescribable flowing into gyres, they formed a semblance of a heart and another semblance of lungs, together with all the interior and exterior contextures that are in them. They then followed the flow of heaven in a free way, for heaven is in the endeavor toward such a form, from the influx of love from the Lord. Thus they presented the several parts that are in the heart, and afterwards the union between the heart and the lungs, which they also represented by the marriage of good and truth. From this it was evident that the heart corresponds to the celestial which is of good, and the lungs to the spiritual which is of truth, and that the conjunction of these two in a material form is precisely as is that of the heart and the lungs. I was also told that the case is similar in the body throughout, that is, in its several members, organs, and viscera, in regard to the things therein which are of the heart and those which are of the lungs. For where both do not act, and each distinctly take its turn, there cannot be any motion of life from any principle of the will, nor any feeling of life from any principle of the understanding. 3890. It has been occasionally observed above that heaven or the grand man is distinguished into innumerable societies, and in general into as many as there are organs and viscera in the body, and that each particular society belongs to one of these organs and viscera, see number 3745. Also that the societies, although innumerable and various, nevertheless act as a one, just as all things in the body, although these are various, act as a one. The societies that belong to the province of the heart are the celestial societies, and are in the midst, or in the inmosts. But those which belong to the province of the lungs are the spiritual societies, and are round about, and are in the exteriors. The influx from the Lord is through the celestial societies into the spiritual ones, or through the middle into the circumferences, that is, through inmosts to exteriors. The reason of this is that the Lord inflows through love or mercy, whence comes all that is celestial in his kingdom, and through love or mercy he inflows into the good of faith, whence comes all that is spiritual in his kingdom, and this with unspeakable variety. But the variety does not arise from the influx, but from the reception. 3891. That not only does the universal heaven respire as one man, but also each of the societies in company, nay, all angels and spirits, has been testified to me by very many living experiences, so as to leave me in no doubt on the subject. Spirits are surprised that anyone should have any doubt concerning the matter, But as there are few who have any other idea of angels and spirits than as of that which is immaterial, whence they would be mere thoughts, and thus scarcely substances, still less would as men enjoy the senses of seeing, hearing, and of touch, and still less would have respiration, and thus a life like man's, although of an interior kind, such as is the life of a spirit relatively to that of a man. And therefore I may here adduce yet further experiences. Before falling asleep, I was once told beforehand that there were some who were conspiring against me with the intent to kill me by suffocation, but I paid no attention to their threats, because I was protected by the Lord, and therefore I fell asleep without apprehension. But on awaking at midnight, I was made very sensible that I did not perspire from myself, but from heaven, for the respiration was not my own, and yet I respired. On many other occasions it has been given me to be sensible of the breathing or respiration of spirits, and also of angels, from the fact that they respired within me, and that my own respiration was nevertheless at the same time present, distinct from theirs. But no one can be sensible of this unless his interiors are opened, and he is thus brought into communication with heaven. 3892. I have been informed by the most ancient people, who were celestial men, and above all other men were in love to the Lord, that they had not external respiration such as their posterity had, but internal, and that they respired with the angels with whom they were in fellowship, because they were in celestial love. I was further informed that their states of respiration were altogether according to their states of love and of the derivative faith. See what has been related above on this subject, number 608, 805, 1118 to 1120. 3893. Angelic choirs were once celebrating the Lord together, and this from gladness of heart. Their celebration was sometimes heard as sweet singing, for among themselves spirits and angels are possessed of a sonorous voice, and are heard by each other as well as a man is heard by a man. But human singing is not to be compared with that, for a sweetness and harmony which are celestial. From the variety of the sound, I perceived that there were many choirs. I was instructed by the angels with me that they belonged to the province of the lungs and to their functions, for it is theirs to sing, because this is the office of the lungs. This also was given me to know by experience. They were permitted to direct my respiration, which they did so gently and sweetly, and also so interiorly, that I was scarcely sensible of any respiration of my own. I was further instructed that they who are appointed to the involuntary respiration are distinct from those who are appointed to the voluntary respiration, and I was told that they who are appointed to the involuntary respiration are present with man during sleep, for as soon as he sleeps, the voluntariness of his respiration ceases, and he receives involuntary respiration. 3894. It was said above, number 3892, that the respirations of angels and spirits are altogether according to their states of love and of the derivative faith. Hence one society does not respire in the same manner as another, and the evil, who are in the love of self and of the world, and thereby in what is false, cannot abide in company with the good. But when they come near them, they seem to themselves unable to breathe, and as it were to be suffocated, in consequence whereof they fall down like persons half dead, or like stones, even into hell, where they again receive their respiration, which they have in common with those who are there. From this we can see that they who are in evil and falsity cannot be in the grand man or in heaven, for when on their approaching it their respiration begins to cease, all their observation and thought also cease, and likewise all their endeavor to do what is evil and to persuade what is false. And together with the endeavor there perish all their action and vital motion, so that they can do no otherwise than cast themselves down headlong thence. 3894a. Because this is so, and because the well-disposed on their entrance into the other life are first remitted into the life which they had in the world, see number 2119, thus also into the loves and pleasures of that life, therefore they cannot as yet, before they are prepared, be in fellowship with angels, even as to respiration. For this reason, when they are being prepared, they are first inaugurated into angelic life by concordant respirations, and then they come at the same time into interior respirations and into celestial freedom. This is effected in a society of many, or in choirs, in which the one respires in the same way as the others, and also perceives in the same way, and in the same way acts from freedom. How this is effected has also been shown me to the life. 3895. The persuasion of what is evil and false, and also the persuasion of truth when man is in the life of evil, is of such a nature in the other life that it as it were suffocates others, even well-disposed spirits, before they have been inaugurated into angelic respiration. They, therefore, who are in such a persuasion, are removed by the Lord and are detained in hell, where one cannot hurt another. For there the persuasion of one is nearly like that of another, and hence their respirations accord. Some spirits who were in such a persuasion came to me with the intent to suffocate me, and even caused somewhat of suffocation, but I was delivered by the Lord. A little child was then sent by the Lord, at whose presence they were so tortured that they could scarcely breathe, in which state they were kept even until driven to supplications, and thus were thrust down into hell. The persuasion of truth when man is in the life of evil is of such a nature that he persuades himself that truth is truth, not for the sake of good as the end, but for the sake of evil as the end, namely, that he may thereby gain honors, reputation, and wealth. The very worst of all are able to be in such a persuasion, and also in apparent zeal, to such a degree as to condemn to hell all who are not in truth, however much these may be in good. Concerning this persuasion, see number 2689-3865. When such persons first come into the other life, they believe themselves to be angels, but they cannot approach any angelic society, being as it were suffocated by their own persuasion as soon as they come near it. These are they of whom the Lord says in Matthew, "Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." 7, verses 22 and 23. 3896. The subject of the grand man and of correspondence will be continued at the end of the following chapter. Chapter the 30th, 3897. In accordance with the plan adopted, it is now necessary to explain, as a preface to this chapter, what the Lord taught concerning the last judgment, or the last times of the church, in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Before the preceding chapter of Genesis, there was explained what is contained in this chapter of Matthew from the 19th to the 22nd verse. Now follows what is contained in verses 23 to 28. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is the Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall give great signs and wonders, to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you before. If therefore they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not out. Behold, he is in the inner chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh forth out of the east and appeareth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. 3898. What these words involve no one can know except from the internal sense, as that false Christ shall arise who shall give signs and wonders, and that if men should say that Christ is in the desert, they should not go out, and that if they should say that he is in the inner chambers, they should not believe it, and that the coming of the Son of Man shall be as the lightning which cometh forth from the east and appeareth even unto the west, and also that wheresoever the carcass is, there also will the eagles be gathered together. These things, like those which precede and that follow in this chapter, seem not to stand in any series as to the sense of the letter, But yet in the internal sense they are in a most beautiful series, which first becomes apparent when it is understood what is signified by false Christs, what by signs and wonders, what by the desert and the inner chambers, also what by the coming of the Son of Man, and lastly what by the carcass and the eagles. The reason why the Lord spoke in this manner was in order that the people might not understand the word, lest they should profane it. For when the church has been vastated, as it then was with the Jews, if men understood it, they would profane it. Wherefore, for the same reason, the Lord also spoke by parables, as he himself teaches in Matthew 13, verses 13 to 15, Mark 4, verses 11 and 12, Luke 8, verse 10. For the word cannot be profaned by those who do not know its mysteries, but by those who do. See number 301 to 303, 593, 1008, 1010, 1059, 1327, 1328, 2051, 3398, 3402. And more by those who appear to themselves learned than by those who seem to themselves unlearned. But the reason why the interiors of the word are now being opened is that the church at this day has been so far vastated, that is so devoid of faith and love, that although men know and understand, still they do not acknowledge and much less believe. See number 3398, 3399. Except a few who are in the life of good and are called the elect, who can now be instructed, and with whom a new church is to be instituted. But where these are, the Lord alone knows. There will be few within the church. It has been among the Gentiles that previous new churches have been set up. See number 2986. 3899. In what precedes in this chapter of Matthew, the successive vastation of the church has been treated of, that they should first begin no longer to know what good and truth are, but should dispute about them. Next, that they should despise them. Thirdly, that they should not acknowledge them. And fourthly, that they should profane them. See number 3754. The subject now treated of is the state of the church in respect to its quality at that time as to doctrine in general, and with those specifically who are in holy external worship, but in profane internal worship, that is, who with the mouth profess the Lord with holy reverence, but at heart worship themselves and the world, so that with them the worship of the Lord is a means of gaining honors and wealth. In so far as these persons have acknowledged the Lord and the celestial life and faith, so far do they profane them when they become of such a character. This state of the church is now treated of, as may better appear from the internal sense of the Lord's words quoted above, which is as follows. 3900. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is the Christ, or there, believe it not, signifies an exhortation to beware of their doctrine. The Christ is the Lord as to divine truth, and hence as to the word, and as to doctrine from the word. That here the contrary is meant, namely divine truth falsified, or the doctrine of falsity, is evident. That Jesus is divine good and Christ divine truth may be seen above number 3004, 3005, 3008, 3009. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, signifies the falsities of that doctrine. That false Christs are doctrinal things from the word falsified, or truths not divine, is manifest from what has been said just above. See also number 3010, 3732 at the end. And that false prophets are those who teach such falsities, number 2534. In the Christian world, they who teach falsities are especially those who have as their end their own preeminence and the riches of the world, for they pervert the truths of the word in their own favor. For when the love of self and of the world is the end, nothing else is thought of. These are the false Christs and false prophets. And they shall give great signs and wonders, signifies things that confirm and persuade from external appearances and fallacies, by which the simple suffer themselves to be led astray. That this is giving signs and wonders will of the Lord's divine mercy be shown elsewhere. To lead astray, if possible, even the elect, signifies those who are in the life of good and truth, and are consequently with the Lord. These are they who in the word are called the elect. In the company of those who veil over profane worship with what is holy, such are rarely seen, or if seen, they are not known, for the Lord hides them and thus protects them. For before they have been confirmed, they suffer themselves to be easily led away by external sanctities, but after they have been confirmed, they remain steadfast, being kept by the Lord in the company of angels, without knowing it. And it is then impossible for them to be led astray by that wicked crew. Behold, I have told you before, signifies an exhortation to prudence, that is, to beware. For they are among false prophets who appear in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Matthew 7, verse 15. The false prophets are the sons of the age, who are more prudent in their generation, that is, more crafty, than the sons of light, as described in Luke 16, verse 8. For which reason the Lord exhorts them in the words, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore prudent as serpents and simple as doves. Matthew 10, verse 16. If therefore they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the inner chambers, believe it not. Signifies that what they say about truth and what they say about good, as well as many other things, are not to be believed. That this is what is signified, no one can see except the man who is acquainted with the internal sense. And that a mystery is contained in these words may be known from the fact that the Lord spoke them, and that without any other sense more interiorly hidden, the words amount to nothing. Namely, that if they should say that the Christ was in the desert, they were not to go forth, and if they should say that he was in the inner chambers, they were not to believe it. But it is vast stated truth that is signified by the desert, and vast stated good by the inner chambers, or secret recesses. And the reason why vast stated truth is signified by the desert is that when the church is vast stated, that is, when there is no longer any divine truth in it, because there is no longer any good, or love to the Lord and charity toward the neighbor, it is then said to be a desert, or to be in a desert. For by a desert or wilderness is meant whatever is not cultivated or inhabited, number 2708, also whatever has little life, number 1927, as is then the case with truth in the church. This shows that the desert here is a church in which there is no truth, but the inner chambers or secret recesses in the internal sense signify the church as to good, and also simply good. The church that is in good is called the house of God. The inner chambers and the things within the house are goods. That the house of God is divine good, and a house in general the good of love and charity, may be seen above number 2233, 2234, 2559, 3142, 3652, 3720. The reason why that which men say about truth and what they say about good is not to be believed is that they call falsity truth and evil good. For they who regard themselves and the world as their end understand nothing else by truth and good than that they themselves are to be adored and are to receive benefits. And if they breathe forth piety, it is that they may appear in sheep's clothing. Moreover, as the word spoken by the Lord contains innumerable things within it, and as desert or wilderness is a word of wide signification, for all that is called a wilderness which is not cultivated and inhabited, and all interior things are called inner chambers. Therefore by a desert is also signified the word of the Old Testament, because this is regarded as abrogated, and by inner chambers the word of the New Testament, because this teaches interior things or those which concern the internal man. So also the whole word is called a desert, because it no longer serves for doctrinal things. And human institutions are called inner chambers, which, because they depart from the precepts and institutes of the word, make the word to be a desert. This is also known in the Christian world, for they who are in holy external and in profane internal worship for the sake of innovations which look to their preeminence over all and their opulence above all as the ends in view, abrogate the word, and this so far as not even to permit it to be read by others. And although they who are not in such profane worship hold the word to be holy and permit it to be among the people, they nevertheless bend and explain all things therein in favor of their doctrinal matters, which causes the rest of what is in the word, and which is not in accordance with their doctrinal matters, to be a desert. This may be sufficiently evident from the case of those who make salvation to consist in faith alone, and hold in contempt the works of charity. All that the Lord himself has spoken in the New Testament, and so many times in the Old, concerning love and charity, they make as a desert. And all the things that belong to faith without works, they make as inner chambers. It is manifest from this what is signified by the words, "If they say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the inner chambers, believe it not." For as the lightning cometh forth from the east, and appeareth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Signifies that it was with the internal worship of the Lord as with lightning, which is instantly dissipated. For by the lightning is signified that which is of celestial light, and thus that which is preached about love and faith, because these are of celestial light. In the supreme sense, the East is the Lord, and in the internal sense, the good of love, of charity, and of faith from the Lord. See number 101, 1250, 3249. But the West, in the internal sense, is that which has gone down or has ceased to be. Thus it signifies no acknowledgement of the Lord, nor of the good of love, charity, and faith. And so the lightning that cometh out of the east and appeareth even unto the west denotes dissipation. The coming of the Lord is not according to the letter, that he is to appear again in the world, but it is his presence in every one. And this exists whenever the gospel is preached, and what is holy is thought of. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Signifies that confirmations of falsity by means of reasonings will be multiplied in the vastated church. When the church is without the good, and consequently without the truth of faith, that is, when it has been vastated, it is said to be dead, for its life is from good and truth. And hence, when dead, it is compared to a carcass. Reasonings concerning goods and truths that make these out to be nothing except in so far as they are apprehended, and confirmations of evil and falsity thereby, are the eagles, as is evident from that which now follows. That the carcass here is the church, devoid of the life of charity and faith, is manifest from the words of the Lord in Luke, where he speaks of the consummation of the age. The disciples said, "Where, Lord?" That is, the consummation of the age, or the last judgment. And he said unto them, "Where the body is, thither will the eagles also be gathered together." 17, verse 37. Body here stands in place of carcass, for it is a dead body that is meant, and it signifies the church. For that the judgment was to commence from the house of God or from the church is evident from various passages in the Word. This is what is signified in the internal sense by the Lord's words now adduced and unfolded. That they are in a most beautiful series, although this does not appear in the sense of the letter, must be evident to anyone who contemplates them in their connection according to the explication.